You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Thy word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12, that's where we are. And last week we stopped at verse 32. We see Matthew, one of the gospel writers, he wrote to the Jewish people. His audience were a Jewish audience. But this word is still applicable to us today. So we can glean from this word and build up ourselves in our most holy faith. So we have to come to understand that God's word stands forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. So we're going to continue from Matthew 12:32 and continue as the Lord leads. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to be here another Saturday evening to continue in your word. Father God, your word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I pray that your word will pierce our hearts, bringing forth transformation. So as we come, O God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that we will not just be hearers, O God, of your word, but we will be doers of your word. We will purpose in our hearts to obey your word, to walk in truth and holiness. Father, as we come this evening, we pray that you will illuminate your word to us. Holy Spirit of God, bring forth, O God Almighty, illumination. Guide us into all truth, that we may walk in truth and holiness, bringing honor to your great name. We pray for those that are listening right now, mighty God. Those that are saved, we pray that you, O God, will continue to strengthen them. We pray that they will continue to grow in grace and knowledge of you, Jesus. And those that are not yet saved, I pray for their salvation, that they will come to know you and confess you as Lord and Savior. Father, we just thank you for the work that your Holy Spirit is doing right here. He's here, O God, to bring conviction and conversion to weary souls. So we just thank you, O God, for souls that will be saved, O God, and souls, O God, that will be equipped for the kingdom. Father, we bless you, we honor, and we give you glory for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you are about to do, as we look to you by faith and give thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. So we see in Matthew 12, 32, people of God, Jesus had said, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. So we were saying last week, let us be careful that we don't speak against the Holy Spirit's work. Many times we will see manifestation of the Holy Spirit that we don't understand. But let us ask God to illuminate his works to us so that we will understand and know that this is the Holy Spirit working in us. But if we don't understand, people of God, it's for us to just walk in humble reverence of who God is, knowing that he does as he pleases, people of God. And things that we don't understand, let us not say that it is not of God. Let us be very careful how we walk and how we talk. Our words will condemn us. So let us be very careful. Look at verse 33 of Matthew 12. Jesus continued to speak. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. So what Jesus was saying, really, our perception of each other matters. Our perception of each other matters. So if we see someone as good, we will also see their works as good. If we see someone as good, so Jesus was making the analogy of the tree. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. So what Jesus was saying, really, our perception of each other matters. So if we see someone as good, we will also see their works as good. But if we see them as bad, then we will see their works as bad, even if the work is good. What we produce, people of God, will say who we are. But if we perceive someone, look on how they perceive Jesus, people of God. Look on how the religious people perceive Jesus. They address him as this fellow. They did not see him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So their perception of him was bad, even though he was good. So we see our perception of each other matters. And we need to have the right perception. We need to see things from the right perspective. We need to have on the lens of our Father. We need to see clearly and understand. They were there, but they were not seen clearly. Those religious people were not seen clearly. The ordinary people could see and say, this could be the Son of David. But they said, no, he is casting out demons by Satan. So we see their perception of Jesus. So if we see someone as good, we will also see their works as good. But if we see them as bad, then we will see their works as bad, even if their works is good. People of God, sometimes we are there performing such good works, and all we hear is criticism of all the good things that are being done. Because those people see you as being bad. So because of that, they see the works that you do, even though it's good works, it's perceived as bad. So what we produce will say who we really are, people of God. But we can't let what others are saying about us stop us on this journey. We must know, people of God, our purpose. We must know our calling. We must know our mission and be not distracted by what others are saying. Doesn't matter how good you are, someone will say that you are bad. So we have to know who we are, people of God. Know whose we are. Know our mission, people of God, and have our mindset focused on Jesus Christ. So look at verse 34 of Matthew 12, reading from the New King James Version. Jesus said, brood of vipers, brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus called them a brood of vipers, a group of snakes. They were snakes. They were deceitful. They were subtle. They were cunning. They were evil. That's what Jesus said. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is inside of us, people of God, comes out. What is inside of us comes out of us. John the Baptist also called them a group of snakes. They were coming to John the Baptist's baptism. They were not coming to repent. They were coming to spy and to look what he was doing. And John the Baptist, in verse 7 and 8 of Matthew 3, John the Baptist said, but when he saw, speaking of John the Baptist, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. Going on to verse 9. Do not think of yourself that we have Abraham as your father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. So we see, people of God, John the Baptist also called them a group of snakes. The old King James Version said a generation of vipers. So people of God, we don't want to really come to that place where we allow those that are not of Christ to really trouble us, to really get us distracted. These religious people were not of God. They were just practicing religion, trying to do works to please God. When God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross, to do that work for us, to die on the cross, so that those who put their trust in him could be saved. But they chose not to believe on the Son of God that came. And they chose to continue in their religious practices, thinking that that could take them to heaven. So we see Jesus call them a brood of vipers, a group of snakes. They were subtle, cunning, deceitful, filled with evil. There was no good thing in them. Let us refer to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, 23 and 24. Proverbs 4, 23 and 24. The word of God said, "Keep your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." So they were speaking things out of the abundance of their heart, which were just not right. So they were not keeping their hearts. They were not guarding their hearts with diligence. They were speaking words that were so much against Christ Jesus, the Son of God. So Jesus called them a brood of vipers, a group of snakes that has come to deceive and to do evil. Look at what Jesus continued to say in Matthew 12:35. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." So people of God, a good man, out of what is in his heart, he will bring forth good things. So we have to understand, as Jesus said before, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if a good man speaks, then he will be speaking good things because he's good. And whatever he stores in his heart will be good. Let us be careful, people of God, of what we are storing in our hearts. Is it good things? When we speak, do our words edify someone else? Do our words build up or does it tear down? When we correct, do we correct in love, that the person who hears that correction will know that they are coming from a place of love? So people of God, as God's people, we should treasure up in our hearts his words, so that when we speak, we will be speaking his words, which will edify, which will bring grace to those who hear. But an evil person, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bring forth evil things. So Jesus said to them, out of the abundance of your heart you speak. So all those evil things that you're speaking, it's coming from your heart. Your heart is not right. And people of God, when our hearts are not right, we speak evil things. We speak words contrary to the will of God. But we want to be people with a good heart, a clean heart, a pure heart. So whatever is coming from us will build up, will bring hope to others. Whatever words we speak, people of God, it will edify. So we want to be people who are building the kingdom of God, who are working with Jesus, who are gathering and not scattering. We want to be people, when we speak, others will be blessed by what we say. Even when we correct, they will come to know it's coming from a place of love for them. We are looking out for their well-being, their welfare. So we speak truth to them, but that truth comes out in love, correct in love. So out of our hearts, people of God, what is in our heart? We have to stop and ask the Holy Spirit to clean us up, clean our hearts, cleanse us, oh God, from all unrighteousness. We have to come to that place. Like the psalmist who said, "Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me." We want to have a clean, pure heart, people of God. That out of the abundance of that clean, pure heart, people will be blessed. people will be edified. People will come to that place of walking in the abundance of grace that comes through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 36 of Matthew 12. But I say to you that for every idle word men say, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Jesus continues to speak. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. And when we turn, people of God, to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, the wise man Solomon wrote, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. God will bring every work into judgment. So we have to understand the truth of God's word, that God will bring every bit of our work into judgment, whether it be good or evil. So we will have to give account of what we say, of what we do on that day of judgment. Look on 1 Corinthians 4, 5. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. The word of God says, therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. So people of God, we have to come to that place of knowing that the day of judgment is coming, when everyone will have to give account to God for what they do. Look in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. The word of God tells us, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So each one of us is going to have to come before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for all that we have done in this body. So Jesus was just reminding them that every idle word they speak, they will have to give account of it in the day of judgment. So people of God, as we say, let us ask the Lord to help us and to bridle our tongue to come to that place where our speech is seasoned with the word of God. What we speak will build up, will bring grace to those who hear. We will know how to answer every person. We have to come to understand that we will be judged by the words that we speak. What are we speaking to others? What is in our heart? Is it God's word that we have hidden in our heart? Is it God's word that is coming out? Or is it our word? We have to come to understand that the Lord is calling us to be pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We want our hearts to be pure, where our words will be coming from a place of purity, people of God. Where our words will be coming from a heart that is pure, and those words will build up and not tear down. So we have to come to understand what Jesus is saying. Look in verse 37 of Matthew 12. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So we see, people of God, by our confession, by your confession, by what you say, you will be declared righteous. That justified there means declared righteous. And also by what you confess or what you say, you will receive condemnation. So I will ask a question this evening. Who are you confessing today? Who are you confessing? Is it Christ? Who are you confessing? Is it Christ? That's a question. You have to answer that question, people of God. The word tells us in Romans 10, 9 to 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus said, by your word you will be justified, and by your word you will be condemned. So the word is telling us here in Romans 10, 9 to 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. People of God, what are we confessing? Who are we confessing? Who are you confessing today? Is it Christ? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are we speaking Christ? Are we living Christ? Are we sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. The word tells us in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, having been justified, having been declared righteous by our faith in Jesus Christ, we now have peace with God. We now are reconciled to Father God. Through whom? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. So people of God, we have to confess Jesus. Jesus is the only way. And we have to believe that he is the Son of God, and that he came here on earth to die for our sins. He became our sin bearer. He bore our sins on the cross. He bore our pain, our shame, our sicknesses, our rebelliousness. He bore all of those things. Everything that was against us, he bore them on the cross, people of God. And now, when we put our trust in him, he clothes us in his righteousness. He clothes us in his righteousness. So now we are declared righteous. Not by our good works in trying to keep the law, but it's by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, who kept the law perfectly. So we have to understand this truth. There's no other way by which we can enter into heaven but through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. So we have to understand, people of God, and confess Jesus Christ. For by your word you will be justified, and by your word you will be condemned. Who are you confessing? Is it Christ? If you confess Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart, it's coming from the heart, people of God. We can confess with our mouth. We can just say the sinner's prayer after somebody tell us to say the sinner's prayer, and we repeat it after them without really committing to Jesus. Why? Because we never believe from the heart. But when we believe from the heart, people of God, we are not ashamed to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are not ashamed to own him as our Savior. So it has to be a heart thing. It has to be coming from our heart, people of God. And when we come to believe in Jesus Christ from our heart, believe that he's the Son of God, believe that God raised him from the dead, believe that he's coming back for us, believe that he's our only hope, and put our trust in him. People of God, the Lord knows the heart. He knows those that are his. He alone can try the hearts. And he knows those who belong to him. So if we are here saying that we belong to Christ, and we know deep down that we have not really trusted him wholeheartedly, now we have the time to do so. We have the time to come and say, Jesus, wash me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and make me whole. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came and died for my sins. And I believe that you are able to save my soul from hell. So we have to come to God and mean it. We have to confess Jesus and mean it. So not just saying some words, or truly confessing him from our hearts. And people of God, God knows the heart. God knows those that are his. He knows those who have truly put their trust in Jesus. Look at verse 38 of Matthew 12. Verse 38 of Matthew 12. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." So you see these religious people coming to Jesus looking for a sign. People of God, look on the amount of miracles that Jesus did, and they were still coming, asking him for a sign. But look on verse 39, how Jesus answered them. "But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah.'" Jesus answered, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." So Jesus was saying they were evil and adulterous. They keep seeking after signs. And people of God, we have to be very careful that we are not running down signs, seeking after signs. Let us take God at his word and believe what he says, and that settles it. We have to come to that place where we understand that God's word is truth. And what he says he will do, he will do. Whatever he says will come to pass. His promises are true and faithful. So we don't need to be running after signs. We don't need to be looking for signs. The word of God tells us that signs will follow those who believe. So we have to come to that place of truly believing Jesus Christ, acting upon his word. When we act upon his word, it shows that we truly believe. So these religious people were coming to Jesus after so many miracles, still seeking a sign. But Jesus said, no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. Look at verse 40. We are going to see what Jesus means when he said, except the sign of Jonah. Verse 40. "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So Jesus was rebuking the religious leaders for seeking after a sign to believe in him. He told them that an evil and disloyal generation seeks for a sign to believe. But the only sign they will get is the sign of Jonah. What did he mean by that? He made reference to Jonah being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and nights. And so shall he, Jesus, be in the earth for that same period of time. His death, his burial, and his resurrection is a sign that they will get to know and believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. His death, his burial, and resurrection is the sign that they will get. That's what he's saying. You won't get no other sign except the sign of Jonah. And as Jonah was in that great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the earth. And people of God, his death, his burial, his resurrection is the sign that they will get to know and believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. So they were there seeking after signs, people of God, and they did not understand that Jesus Christ has already come. He is the Messiah King. So we give thanks and praise to God. We come to the end of our session for this week, and we will continue next week from verse 40. God bless you. Father, we thank you again for your word to your people. May you continue to bless and keep your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Blessings to all. In the